What's up, everybody?
We're doing this as quickly as we can because we're afraid our connection might, like, chop off again.
Yeah, you know how the government wants to, like, stop this shit.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the word intercept.
Like, intercept. It's like, stop, okay.
How many seconds into the podcast?
And you didn't even know the word right away.
Yeah. By the way, just a heads up to everyone. We already know the name of the dog. Keep on barking. His name is Sushi, and we have a theory as to why he keeps on barking.
Yes.
Because every time... What was that again, Gab?
I was going to say, we take back what we said about him being a fame whore. Yeah. Because he's on our team now. Wait, mm-hmm. Is Sushi a he or is she?
I think he's a he.
You think. Okay.
Yeah, I think.
I'm fine with that. Wait, but we didn't say why he's barking.
Because we feel like he's the reason why the connection gets stable. Because how did we explain that earlier?
I don't know. It's just that if he keeps on barking, the connection gets better. He's probably doing something with the frequency, you know, mm-hmm. using his voice and be like, yes, it will stabilize the internet connection.
So yeah, if you guys hear the barking, just understand that he's trying his best to keep this podcast.
He's replacing Craig.
Yeah. He's our Steven.
Oh my god, did you just replace Kyra?
Oh.
And be like,
wait, no.
Like, okay, replace everybody.
Replace Craig, replace Kyra. Kyra is Gabby's younger sister, by the way, and she does the editing for us.
Yes. Okay. Hey, stop. Why are we... Okay,
we are so giggly today.
Like, it's because we didn't have our proper full-on conversation prior to this. We usually spend an hour or two talking. Giggling. Yeah, and then we start recording, but today it's like, fuck, we just lost connection, let's record right now.
Also, because this is our sober episode, like, usually at least one of us, or usually it's Gabby who's not sober, but now it's like our sober episode.
Yes. Oh my god, welcome to Creepy Conversations with Kalai and Gabby. We've been at it for like 3 minutes without even welcoming the listeners.
Yeah, we went straight to Sushi. Jesus. Yep. It's his way of manipulating us. Because he's a fame whore. But we love him.
So, yeah. Yep, also, we've accepted him.
Yeah, and this episode, as you can see from the title, duh, it's a Murder We Know episode. So we're going to be talking about murder.
We know.
Yes. Also, it's kind of like a kiss ass to my favorite murder, because it's Murderino sounds like Murderino.
Murderino.
Which is, yes, the name of their, like, fan cult.
But, honestly, when did we figure that out? It's like, we decided on the title, and then eventually it was like, oh my god, did you know? It kind of sounds like Murderino.
Last week, I think, we were supposed to... Was that last week? No, the week before... No, not...
Yep, see? I don't know.
Before F1...
I think before F1, yeah.
So, yeah, we were, like, supposed to record this episode, but it wasn't happening for us. So we were like, let's delay this episode for...
Yeah.
How many weeks?
You know what? This, my story has, like, zero details, by the way. It's, like, I've heard of it from my cousins, and it's not, like... the stories we've had in the previous Murder We Know episode, wherein it's like we know the people involved in mm-hmm. the whole thing, because for one, I have no idea who these people are, who was involved in shit, but I want to share mine because it happened near my place, probably like 10-15 minutes away.
Ooh.
From my house. Yeah.
All right.
Are we starting, like,
yeah.
Swoop in? Oh, shit.
Let's start, Gab. That was a sign from the universe.
Honestly, this wasn't even the plan. We were still going to ask each other, so, how's your week? What happened yesterday?
Oh,
are you all right
shit.
Today?
Nothing special happened this week.
Well, Tim left. He's no longer my boss. That's what happened this week.
Are you your own boss now?
I wish. No, my boss now is the German dude. Wow. Just call him the German dude. The German dude.
And then he listens to this and he's like, the disrespect of just calling me the German dude.
I don't want to. Okay, so we're not that close. That's why I don't want to say his name, right? Like, I don't want to talk about him. Mm-hmm. Unlike with Tim. Tim's like a friend. He's like my BFF in the office. So it's like, yes, you can fame whore your way into our podcast without even knowing it.
Fame whore your way. He doesn't even care.
Exactly. Oh, nope, nope. I'm not going to agree with that because he is low-key vain in that sense. I'm sorry, Tim. We're still friends.
He just left your office and now you're like backbiting him.
No, I'm not. It's just the truth hurts, okay? It's not always the prettiest.
Tim, you're a fame whore, according to Gabby.
Yeah. I'll send him the link to this episode and then be like, by the way, for a full minute, we were talking about you. Yeah, that's really it for me. Nothing much happened. Oh, I updated my Society 6. This is a very shameless plug, you guys.
What? She's trying her best. You guys should buy it. It's great. I want to buy the mug.
Yay! You see? Now people people are like curious now. Ooh, what's up with the mug?
You Thanks tell them what your like Society 6 account name is.
Oh, right. That's how it works. I forgot.
Yeah.
So, if you search Gibbs R, that's GHYBZR on Society 6, you'll find my shop. And then you can choose from mugs to tote bags, stickers, notebooks, and all that shit. I have my paintings there. I'm pretty sure you guys will love it. Go buy it.
Yeah. And if you can't buy it because you're poor like us, just share it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it doesn't hurt. It helps me as well. Mm-hmm. And you guys.
It helps you guys because you'd be closer to heaven for helping somebody.
Exactly. So, wait, let me drink water. Here we go again. If she's not eating, she's drinking.
She's drinking. Well, that's like better compared to me. Like, if I'm not like, what do I do? If I don't forget words, I'm like burping.
Exactly. And we don't even edit it out. It's like, oh, excuse me.
Sorry to those that hate listening to me burp. It's just, it's me. It's part of me.
It's a constant in our lives. Okay, so.
Let's get back to murder.
Yeah. How do I start this? I wanna be the first to share this story because I'm pretty sure yours will be more interesting because you have more details and stuff.
Not really. Mine is like, there's like a part that it'll be annoying. But anyway, go.
Oh, mine's probably like less than 5 minutes and I'm done with my story because that's how undetailed it is. I can't find much information about it because it happened like in the 90s. And you'll only ever find information if you look for newspaper clippings of it. So maybe if I was back in Philippines and be like in the library, I might be able to find an article about it. But to be honest, if you search it on the internet, you will find nothing.
Also, because there's so many murders in the Philippines, it's just, you can't find shit anymore.
Exactly. It's like, is this even a headline? What? Is headline worthy murder? Because if mm-hmm. it's not, then we're not documenting that. It's, mm-hmm. yeah. You choose your battles. So, like I said, this happened like 15 minutes away from where I live. And it's somewhere in Nasipit, Talamban. And I remember my cousins talking about it because they were in college. So every time, and my cousins went to USC for college. So every time they went.
Wait, University of San Carlos.
Yeah.
Not University of Southern California.
Well, we can pretend. I totes forgot. So every time they go to and from school, they would pass by this place. And at one point, it started to smell like really, really bad when they commute. So the area is kind of mountainous, or as per Kalai, mountainy.
When did I say that?
I forgot. I think it was Sigbin. I'm not sure. In one of our episodes, and you were like, mountainy area, referring to Talisay.
What?
Anyway. So it's like, this is the road, and then a little bit of a flat area, and then going up to a mountainous place. And there are houses there. And it started to reek dead shit. And people were like, what the fuck is this? At first, they thought it was the sewer, but it just didn't sit right. And then eventually, they found out it was because there was a dead body rotting in one of the houses up there.
Oh, shit.
And that's like, that's crazy, you know, because it was really, really far, but the smell got into that area. And then they found out that the corpse has been rotting for a really long time. It was a dead body of an old lady, and it's probably her husband. So it was like an old couple that was like bleeding and rotting in that place. And then they found out it was the, what do you call this? What do you call a male help? A male help, a boy.
A male help.
I don't know what you call them. We call them a boy. Like literal B-O-Y, boy.
Yeah.
He killed the elderly couple because they were rich as fuck. So he killed him to steal stuff from them.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Was he...
So I'm not sure if he was ever caught, but I think he was because people knew him. Like, he worked for them for a really long time, so people recognize him. And so it was like, yep, that's the dude who killed him. And everyone was so surprised because he seemed to care so much for that elderly couple. Because like I said, he worked for them for a really long time. And it was like, I'll take care of you guys. I do the house chores and all that shit. And then this happened. So fast forward to, what year is it? 20 something.
This year?
No. When we were in college, so probably like 2009.
Mm.
And we went to college in USC. They turned that area, the house, they turned
oh
the house
my God.
Into, guess what?
Cuckoo?
Guess what? Yes!
Oh my.
So they turned that place into like a restaurant slash, hostel. It was still a house, right?
Yeah, hostel slash place where people drink.
Yeah, so we frequented that area quite a lot. It was like afternoons after school, we would go there to drink every day.
We would miss classes there.
Exactly. And we didn't, like, I had no idea that was the house where the murder happened until I told my family. I was like, hey, there's this new place that opened and blah, blah, blah. And then my dad was like, oh, that place where they murdered the elderly couple.
Oh my God.
That's how my dad described the place. And I'm like, oh, shit, what? I don't know which area of the house where it happened or like where they found the bodies. But yeah, we've been in that place for almost every day of our college lives, and we had no idea someone died there.
That's why, like, there were like, oh, this place feels like it's haunted, but you know,
it was like, yeah, it for feels, a reason,
right? It felt like it was haunted.
Yes, but it was pretty big and kind of dark and filled with
very
plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really dark. And oh shit, imagine
it
like.
It felt eerie.
Yes. And the comfort rooms,
yes!
The ladies' rooms, they were like in a really dark area. You have to walk
alone.
It was
kind of like secluded, right?
Yeah, it was kind of secluded. And it was like away from like where the people secluded, right? Duh.
Yeah. It's like, that's what secluded means.
You had to, like, walk down a hallway.
Yeah, it was
a
pretty
dark hallway.
Hidden. And, I mean, like, seeing the interior of the house and where the house actually is, it makes sense why people weren't able to figure out something was up. Because you have to get in, it was a gated area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless you were actually living there or you had somewhere to be up there, you would never know what's up.
That's true.
So it makes sense why they couldn't find the bodies right away until it started smelling. But can you imagine, like, how far it is from the road and you start
smelling
the dead body?
Yeah, shit.
It was that bad.
I wonder which part.
What do you mean? The house?
Yeah, of the house. Because I can still remember the house. Not clearly, but, like, I can still remember how it looks like and, like, where shit's placed.
I really don't know. And I think your cousin's husband had a gallery, like, an exhibit there.
We were, like, hanging out there.
Exactly. And you had, like, we had no idea.
Yeah. When you said, like, we frequented the place, I really thought, like, you and your family. Like, and
No, it was, like, us as friends. Like, our friends were almost every day there.
Yeah, I had no idea. But the house is really beautiful, though.
It is.
I remember, I would say, like, oh, this house is, like, really... It felt like it was, like, a 70s house or something. Like, it was built in the 70s.
But, yeah. It was a horror fest.
We didn't know. We had no idea. People got drunk there. Oh, shit.
I wonder how they sold the house, though. Because it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, in case you didn't know, or should we even tell you?
And I felt like that house was, like, empty for a while before it turned into Gokoks. Is it still Gokoks and Bomao?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. But... Yeah, it's freaky.
Yeah,
but that's the first description my dad said when I told him, like, they turned that into a restaurant and you guys should try it because they've got good food. And my dad was like, oh yeah, the house where they murdered somebody.
Because the house is on a hill, kind of like a mini hill.
Yep.
Not a mini hill. It is on a hill, right?
It was pretty private because it's like there's a gate and you have to ask them to open the gates for you to get up there.
Yeah. And then
I think they were the only house, weren't they?
I think they had like neighbors, but it was far because their yard was pretty big. And then what I remember, there was like a really tall wall in each side of the house.
Yep.
So yeah, and then there were like huge trees as well. So the neighbors probably couldn't see shit inside the house.
Oh, and they also thought that he probably killed the elderly couple in their sleep because nobody heard noises when it happened. It's like they just died and they saw like stab wounds. I don't know how many, but yeah, that's the cause of their death.
Oh my god. So it must have been in the bedroom.
I wonder, we never got inside the bedroom because that's just weird, but oh god.
But there were foreigners. There were people.
Yeah, they turned into some sort of hostel, right?
Yeah, it was like a hostel.
By the way, this is the room where they found...
Oh, where you're sleeping right now? Yeah. That's...
But don't worry, we changed the sheets.
We changed the sheets and the mattress, but, like, the spirits, we can't get rid of them, but they're old. Like, what the hell are they going to do to you?
Oh, my God. How rude.
Could you imagine, like, the old couple... Because if they were killed in their sleep, they probably had no idea. Their spirits probably, like...
Yeah. They probably still think they're alive. It's like, I'm just sleeping.
Maybe they're, like, so confused now. Like, what the hell are these strangers doing in my house?
This is probably... But what? I can't even say it right. Probably how the movie The Others started. Like, because you know how they didn't know they were dead?
Yeah.
That's probably it now.
Oh, aww. My god. We're both like, haha, aww.
Now we're sympathizing them.
Did they have any, like, kids or something?
No, that's why they had a what do you call this? A boy. The help. Yeah. The help. Yeah. That's why they had the help, because they didn't have, well, maybe they did, but then, you know how when your kids leave or probably move to another country?
Yeah.
But no one, like, literally no one was taking care of them except for the help, and the help killed them.
Oh. I think Pano would know the story. Pano, our friend, we, like, always mention her.
We just named all people.
Yeah. If this is your first time listening to Creepy Conversations, we always mention her. But yeah, she's our third wheel. I think she would know, like, the history of how the current owners bought the place, because she's,
yeah,
like,
I mean, like,
really close with them.
They're friends, yeah?
Yeah, like, family friends.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's her mom and the owner who are friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can ask her. It's like, so, did you know?
And then she'd be like, yeah. You guys didn't know?
No, but I feel like if she knew, she would have told us while we were staying there. Because she's that kind of person, like, hey, did you know this place used to be this and that?
But
you know what I mean?
Maybe we didn't have time because we were too busy drinking.
I don't know. Oh, but I have a funny incident there.
Really?
So, that's where I had my first date with the ex, and you know what's so funny? I didn't want people seeing me there, so we had lunch, and then randomly his friends came over, and I didn't want to be seen, so I told him, okay, I want to go home now, like, I don't want to be here, so we left, and then when we got home, like, so he drove, right? Mm-hmm. When we got home, he was like, shit, we didn't pay for food. Because I was just so adamant and be like, no, I don't want to be here anymore. Bye, bye, bye. We have to go. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll drive you home. And so he had to drive back and pay for our shit.
Oh, shit.
But hey, we paid for it. It's just we forgot. The waitress was like, I was so scared. Because you know how they pay for stuff that don't get paid for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm so happy you came back.
Was probably like cursing you guys in your head, like, fucking.
Exactly. Students. No, that house is cursed. That house is cursed. Like, bad stuff happens there. Like, you forgetting to pay for your food.
And, like, a lot of people will get drunk there.
Exactly. I wonder how many people have seen the spirits. Or is there even a spirit there?
Mm-hmm. If you've hung out in that place and you've experienced hauntings, let us know.
Exactly.
You can, like, tag us at Creepy Conversations.
For whatever social media channel, it's just at Creepy Convos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easy to find us. Is it? I think so.
I'm like, we're the only Creepy Convos out there. Hey.
Hey, let us know. But before that, let me tell you guys the murder I know. But this one, I think a lot of people, because this story was actually featured in an episode in Forensic Files, and the name of the episode was Naughty or Nice.
What?
Yeah, and I'll let you know why. My story will be about the murder of Michelle Rivera Nice.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. She's a, well, let me just give you a quick background about Michelle Nice. So she was born in Mibintang, Quezon, Bukidnon, Philippines, which I had no idea that there was also another Quezon in the Philippines. I just thought that it was just Quezon City, Manila, but yeah.
Same!
Yeah, so there's one in Bukidnon.
This says so much about us. It's like, you don't even know your own country, bitches.
You don't know your geography?
Yeah.
Why are we even doing this? No, I'm just kidding.
I have no idea.
But she's the middle child of seven children, which is like a usual amount of children for a Filipino family.
Exactly.
And then she met her husband. Well, her life, like, really started when she met her husband. I don't want to say that her life started, but, like, her life was documented.
Started.
Starting on, like, when she met her husband, Jonathan Nice, through an ad that Jonathan Nice saw in a newspaper, which Michelle put in looking for a pen pal. So, you know how it was back in the 90s? Like, that was the old Tinder.
Honestly, that still happens now.
Oh, really?
Like, we have agencies for that. I accidentally, it wasn't an accident that I applied for a job because they said writer. Mm. And then when I got there, I was like, this is not the writing that I was expecting.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, okay, continue.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. But, like, I knew that there are still, like, they would, how do you say this? Post it on websites, but not on newspapers.
Mm. Oh, not on newspapers.
Oh.
It's websites now, yeah. But, like, there's still the pen pal thing.
Oh, are they for, like, old people?
Not necessarily. But the job that I applied for was, you are writing on behalf of another Filipina. Like, because you know how some of these guys don't really have, like, they're not really good at English. Mm. So someone has to do it for them. Mm. And that was what the company was for.
Interesting. Until now.
Yeah.
Y'all go on Tinder instead.
Yeah, it's just swiping right and left. That's it.
Exactly. But maybe they don't have, like, they don't have access to phones or, like, data, because some of them are from the province. Anyway, we'll look into that. Or if you guys work in that industry, let us know how it works.
Yes.
Also, the thing about her, where she's from, because it mentions that she's from Bukidnon, which is like the south of the Philippines, but how Jonathan Nice, her husband, how he described their home was like perched unsteadily on bamboo stilts above Fated Manila Bay. So I'm confused if it is in Bukidnon or in Manila. And he also said that there are no bathrooms except for trapdoors, which is like also, it still exists until today.
That is such a provincial thing.
Yeah, but the one that he described exists here in Cebu City, like near SRP. Mm. Or like,
yep.
If you're from Cebu, there.
I mean, like, we still see it.
Yeah, we still see it.
Not that it matters, but yes.
So Michelle met Jonathan and they exchanged letters for months, and then Jonathan visited the Philippines, and then a month later they marry here in the Philippines. And then, like, months after that, Jonathan Nice moves Michelle Rivera, now Michelle Nice, moves her into this beautiful $800,000 house. And then soon they had like two sons and a daughter. Soon after that, Jonathan paid for her family and her family members to get out of the slum. So he like paid for their houses and
wow.
Yeah, like he kind of saved them, I guess, from poverty.
Wait, is he rich or is it just because the currency exchange is huge?
He's rich. I'll give you a really quick background about Jonathan Nice. He's a scientist, and he's like one of the dudes that not really one of the dudes, but he used to study for the cure of cancer before he shifted careers and decided to study or have his own company and study or develop a drug for asthma. Because he's asthmatic himself, and then his daughter, his youngest daughter, is also asthmatic. His daughter is also asthmatic. He had two sons and a daughter. Anyway, so yeah, because they're rich, he kind of like got used to giving Michelle the good life. So Michelle got used to extravagance and like living the good life, like how it is if you're an immigrant that moved to the US. And because she was still 19 years old when they first
what
she was 19 when they got married, and he was like I think 40 something already when they got married.
Take notes.
Take notes. But yeah, so she was still, you know, she was still trying to live her life.
Yeah,
because and especially because she wasn't, they weren't, you know, what's the
blessed? Let's just call it that.
Yeah, they weren't like, they weren't blessed, and now she's got the money to like do whatever she wants. She loves going out, dancing, and then, well, which is like also majority of the Filipinos are like that.
Yeah.
Majority of the Filipinos are very extroverts. They, where a lot of us are like outgoing, except for us.
We're an anomaly in the system, so we don't count.
Yeah, and so it's a very normal thing for Filipinos to love dancing and to be yes. out of the house.
Well, actually, we still do like that. It's just we don't like people.
We make sure,
if that makes sense, yeah,
to be in a secluded area.
Yep.
And yeah, where was I?
You lost. I knew it. She's like, yep, she's lost.
Oh yeah. So eventually, like they were living. Jonathan tried to like keep up. He even like in the Forensic Files episode, it was mentioned that he like took Viagra to like keep up with it, but like he couldn't because of course age gap. Michelle is still very young, so let's say like 10 years after it, after them getting married, so she's still like 29, and that's still like you know,
but still young.
That's still young, I guess. And then
shut up, we are young.
Yeah, that is still young. And then back in like 2000s or like late 90s, people loved to rave before until now, but yep. more so what? Before, because the internet was still developing, so you couldn't really like go on Facebook and like check out how other people are living. Like to know how your friends are doing, you actually have to like call them or like go to their house
or meet up with them. Yeah.
So yeah, and then one day Jonathan claims that he got a call from a man telling him about an affair with his wife, and then the dude plays the audio clip of the affair, and then Jonathan recognizes the voice of Michelle because she is from the Philippines and she has like the distinct Filipino accent. So he confronts Michelle, and then Michelle confesses that, you know, she was unsatisfied with their relationship, and then she began a relationship with a gardener. Sorry, not trying to like
I'm wondering, it's like, why is she laughing?
No, I'm just like, of all people, why would you start a relationship with a gardener? Like, find someone, like, can't you like find, you know, another, like a bartender, sound like, you know? Why your gardener? Is he that hot? But if, I guess if you're like a lonely housewife, because
it's usually the people who get into your house. Yeah. I mean, that's usually the case. It's either the bodyguard or the help. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah.
Anyway.
And his name was Miguel.
Miguel.
What the hell? Miguel de Jesus.
Miguel.
What the hell?
The Jesus. Miguel the Jesus. Miguel the Jesus. What is Miguel in
Michael.
English. Michael the Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Before that, the caller, remember the caller, the dude who called Jonathan?
The caller, the dude who called what?
I'm sorry. But yeah, he demanded $500,000 or else he will release the tapes to their friends and co-workers. What was it about to say? I don't know. So yeah, and then Michelle eventually, oh, her name's Michelle, and then the guy's Miguel. Cut that out, Kyra. And then it turns out that this Miguel de Jesus is actually just an alias. His real name is Alexander Castañadas, and he was living with another woman, or his wife, and then he had gotten...
What?
Yeah. He, aside from Michelle, he has a wife, and he has another girlfriend. He got another woman pregnant and refused to pay child support.
Well, because he can't afford it.
Yes. Which is crazy that why he's still, you know, trying to be in a relationship with another person. People never learn. And yeah, so when Michelle found out about the thing where somebody called Jonathan, and he was like, oh, maybe because he thinks that we're rich, that's why. I mean, he tried to like extort us for money. And then Michelle ends the affair, and Jonathan files charges against Miguel. Why do I keep on saying it as Miguel?
Miguel? How did you spell it?
Miguel.
So why is it Miguel?
I don't know. Against Miguel de Jesus. Let's just call him by his real name. His real name is Alexander Castañedas. So that I don't have to keep on saying Miguel.
Can we just call him Alex?
Yes. And so, according to her friends and family, Michelle claimed that Alex was stalking her. And then, because of that, the local magistrate, Jonathan, approached her. I don't know how you go to a local magistrate, but they got a restraining order against Alex.
Right.
Yeah. On January 16th, 2014, Michelle Nice's body was found in a ravine in Jacobs Creek inside her green Toyota Land Cruiser in 10-inch deep water. And then there were footsteps.
What?
Yeah. And then on the passenger side, there were footsteps.
What?
There were footsteps.
She used to be an ESL teacher, by the way.
This is why I keep on correcting myself. Excuses. But yeah.
Getting back.
There were footsteps that led to somewhere. So park that somewhere. And then Michelle wasn't wearing shoes. She was in the driver's seat, but she wasn't wearing shoes. And then the bottom of her feet, of her stockings, were dirty, like as if she was walking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they found her shoes were brown. It's funny because in the Forensic Files episode, they were like, oh, her shoes were brown, but her clothes were like dark blue, so it didn't match her clothes.
What?
So they were thinking,
what does fashion have to do with any of this? Some people don't know how to dress up.
Yeah, because according to them, Michelle is like, she
a fashionista.
Yeah, a fashionista, and she likes, her aesthetic is important to her. Anyway, back to Michelle. She had injuries to her head that were inconsistent with a car accident. And then the driver's seat was reclined all the way back, which is unusual for a short 5'1 woman. And she also had cuts in her hands and her arms and hands, which is consistent to a defensive.
So there was like struggle.
Yeah. A defensive wound. And then, so yeah. Sorry, where was I? Oh, yeah. On the night of her death, she got out of her work at 10 p.m. from her shift at their local department store. And then she called Jonathan and told him that she was going out with friends. She was going to go out drinking with friends. But the motel owner nearby and...
why Mount Motel?
I don't know. And then the motel owner said that Michelle was in there with guess who?
Alex.
Yeah. So Alex was questioned that night, and he said that Michelle left in her car and he went home to his wife. Dun, dun,
dun. This is so complicated now. Also, if you were, what was the name of the husband again? Mr. Nice.
Jonathan.
Would you allow her, like, knowing that she cheated on you before, would you allow her to be like, yeah, I'll be out drinking with friends?
Let's get to that part.
Okay.
Nice question. It's a nice segue. So the officers searched Alexander Castañeda's house and the Nice's residence to look for evidence of like what happened to her during that night. Yep. And it turns out that Alex actually had an alibi, and they were able to verify it with multiple sources, like not just her wife, his wife,
yeah,
not just his wife, but like other people saw him as well. So they had multiple accounts of him being where he says he was.
Yeah.
And in the Nice's residence, they didn't find any shoes that matched. Because the initial reason why they went to the Nice's house was like to search for the footprints, because guess what? You remember the footprints that was
leading?
Yeah, it was leading to from the scene to the vicinity where the Nice's residents are near.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah. And also, they couldn't like really say that it was towards the Nice's residence because there were parts of the area that night that didn't have snow, or like the snow already melted. So it didn't really lead straight to the house, but like in the area.
Yeah.
So in the residence, the Nice's residence, they didn't find any shoes that matched the footprints, but they found a baseball bat, which was tested for blood, and they found traces. But since it was cleaned already, they couldn't get DNA samples from it. So they couldn't tell if it was from an animal or a human being. And then they also found Jonathan's clothes in the washer with the water appearing to be pink.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they couldn't test the water to check if it is blood. And then the clothes didn't have any blood stains on it. So they couldn't tell if it was, you know, something else or if it was if it was blood. But according to the cops, they had a feeling that it was blood, because if it was just dye, you would know. Right? If it was if one of the cops was like a woman, she would definitely know if it was blood or not.
Yeah.
We experience that every day.
Every month.
Not every day. Every month. God damn it.
Like, what?
We experience that every month.
It's like, are you okay? If it happens to you every day, go see a doctor.
Exactly. Don't listen to me. And eventually they found that they found a pair of men's loafers with according to the police report, a mysterious substance at the bottom.
What the fuck?
Yeah, at the bottom of the soles, that they couldn't identify it. So they bagged that up, and then they brought that to like the investigator, the scientists that investigate shit. I don't know what they're called, sorry. The CSI, let's just put it that. The scientists tested the substance, which was found to be glue, four different kinds of glue. And then, yes, why glue?
That's so weird.
They discovered pieces of plastic hidden throughout the home. So they were like pieces inside a Christmas box and the children's toys. And so they collected those pieces. And they realized that they looked like they were bottoms of a pair of boots. So what they did was they called up another scientist. His last name was Gainsborough. That's all I can remember. But yeah, he was the medical examiner. That's what they're called, the medical examiners.
Congratulations.
They see, when I'm not trying to think properly,
it just comes out.
But yeah, the medical examiner was able to assemble the thing, and it turns out that it was the bottom of a men's pair of boots, size 12, the exact same size of the shoes, the footprints that were found outside of the passenger side of Michelle's car. And then the crazy thing also is that the glue found on the boots matched the glue at the bottom of the loafers. So he kind of like, we'll get to that later. So because the snow melts, they couldn't really have like, they couldn't, you know, use the plaster of Paris. That's what they usually do in soil. Like they use plaster of Paris so that they can have like the concrete shit to it. The
really? Footprints.
Yes. That's what they usually do so that they can have like how big it really is and how whatever else they do. So they only have a photo of it, like the forensic photo of the shoe print, but it was enough.
It's just harder. Yeah,
but it was enough to say that it was the same manufacturer's design and size. So, and then they were able to piece it together that Jonathan actually sawed the sole of the boots off and glued it into the loafers so that he could like sneaky.
Okay, it makes sense.
Yes. And the crazy thing is that they say that it was size 12 because his shoe is size 12, but he kept on insisting that, oh, that's 9.5 because Alex's shoe size is 9.5, which is like, how the fuck?
But that's so far off.
Also, that just means that you're guilty because you really went through that much to know how big his shoe size is. Like, you wouldn't really care. So they think that
you're pointing it to someone else. Yeah,
and they think that he, like, you know how Alex was a gardener before? They think that he checked what his shoe size were before and, like, took that, noted that down.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then, eventually, they found splatters of blood on the walls of their garage and bloody towels hidden in their chimney. And then
he was trying to burn it off?
I don't think so. I think he was just hiding it there, like, buying his time.
Right.
And then soon after, he admitted to his action, but said that Michelle attacked him first with a knife, with a 2-inch knife. And the funny thing is that they couldn't really find the knife, and he couldn't really give, like, a proper description of what the knife looked like. But he just said that it was a 2-inch knife, and then that was, like, the reason why he attacked her back.
Stop. 2-inch knife. How tiny is that?
That's 2 inches. That's like...
No, I know. That was a rhetorical question.
That's like, what? I think a Swiss Army knife. Like, right? 2 inches.
But would you kill somebody with that such stuff? Yeah. Like, you would just try to remove it. And plus...
She's only 5'1", like, and he's exactly 6'7". Jesus.
Just hold them on their forehead and be like, yep, you can't touch do shit, anymore. Bitch.
Sorry, I just called Michelle bitch. No, not her. And it turns out that their relationship isn't actually, like, what they were trying to portray. It turns out that Jonathan was broke because he, you know, when he shifted from cancer research to asthma research, he started a company which eventually got not really bankrupt, but they kind of removed him as the CEO because shit wasn't working out with him as the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put up their house for $1.6 million, which was still for sale during that time. And because of that, Michelle was forced to get a job at their local, at their local department.
That's why I was so confused when you said she got off work as a department store worker, and I'm like, I thought they were rich.
Yeah, she got a job as a beauty consultant in their local Macy's, or no, I'm not sure if it's Macy's, but their local department store.
Some place like that.
Yeah, so
you're just making it up.
So she kind of, because she was used to them being rich, she kind of got unsatisfied with it. And another thing was that she found out that dude Jonathan was actually 10 years older than he says he is. That's why he needed all those fucking Viagra pills, because he's old as fuck.
Oh, God.
Yes.
The lies.
The lies, the lies, the lies. And not only that, they found out that, actually, there were police reports of domestic violence to the Nice's home, but no one ever, Michelle never really kind of, what do you call that, file charges against Jonathan. And during the trial, they called in Melodia, which is Michelle's younger sister, because you know how Jonathan was also sending money to her family in the Philippines?
Yeah.
When he found out that she had an affair, he stopped sending money to them, even to the point where he was paying for Melodia's college studies.
So he stopped.
Excuse me. So yeah, he didn't... what's the term for that? But yeah, he stopped sending money to them. And then there was also a time that Teodoro, who is Michelle's dad, visited their home once, and he saw a hole that looked like someone punched the wall.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's scary.
That is scary. And it turns out that Jonathan was actually very possessive, and he was always drunk because of the pressure that he was having, that he was losing his money. Mm-hmm. And then he was used to working before, but now because he couldn't find a job, it kind of like him and Michelle kind of switched places. Like Michelle was now the one who was working, and Jonathan was now the one who was taking care of the kids. So because of that, like his ego was probably like hurt. And because of the stress and all that shit, he started drinking heavily. And of course, when you're not yourself, you're not like sexually, you're not there.
Yeah.
So I think that caused problems with their relationship. And although Michelle's family, they don't really believe that Michelle would get a divorce with Jonathan, but that's what Alex Castaneda said. Like the last thing that she said before the night that she was killed, one of the things that they talked about was that she wanted to get a divorce because she was tired. But you know, her family was like, no, that's impossible because she would never get a divorce with him. But you know, we never know if you're
usually it's those things that are kind of Filipino society standards, wherein it's like we don't believe in a broken marriage.
Yeah, that's true.
Like we would rather stay in something really bad for show rather than getting a divorce or getting annulled.
Yeah.
So that could be just her family.
Yeah. But her friends also say that she never mentioned it. Like they didn't even know that she was having an affair. So she was also kind of like living a secret life as well.
Yeah.
I guess she
was. Oh, man.
Yeah. A lot of that shit.
This is so complicated.
Yeah, a lot of it. Because I think she was trying to portray, she was trying to be likable, like how Filipinos are. Because she's not from the U.S. She was still trying to maintain a certain image. But at the same time, like maybe she felt lonely because she wasn't really, you know, she didn't have her family there and she was young and she doesn't really speak the language. So a lot of factors kind of like, maybe that's the reason why she was living the double life or what. Yeah. I'm not trying to like be on her side, but we'll never know. Right.
It's crazy.
It is.
But what was the modus for him to kill her? Was it because she was cheating?
Yeah.
Was it because
he found out that, when he admitted to it, he found out, he called her cell phone, and when she didn't pick up, it was like he knew that she was having an affair again.
Oh.
Yeah, because if she was just out dancing, she probably would still be able to pick up her phone, right?
Doubt it.
I doubt it. You
still hear? Honestly, we don't even pick up our phone when we're sober.
Yes, that's true. That's so true.
It's like, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't see that.
The police think, or the investigators think, that as soon as Michelle arrived in her home, Jonathan attacked her right away. And then, like, put her back in the car and shit. And then when the medical examiner was interviewed during the trial, I read this in the book Never Leave Me, A True Story of Marriage, Deception, and Brutal Murder by John Gaiet, or I don't know how you pronounce it, G-I-A-T-T. The medical examiner was interviewed, and she said that the injuries on her arm looked as if she was raising her arm to her head as if to protect herself.
Protect. Wow.
Yes. And the crazy thing was that hours after Michelle's death, because the investigators already went to their house, the kids were brought to their neighbor's house. Their neighbor's name is Larissa Seuss. She also testified during the trial. She is Michelle's friend and neighbor. And Jonathan went to her house to pick up the kids. And he said to her, like, right as he was like leaving, he was like, Michelle has a wild side, you know. And when Larissa asked what he meant, he said that she was bipolar and that she liked having sex all the time and that she was seeing a psychiatrist. So he was already kind of painting her to be like If ever you guys would find
to be at fault.
Yeah, if ever you guys would find out that I killed her, it's because she's crazy. Like, he was already trying to, like, cleanse himself of some shit. But crazy is that? Like, your wife just died and you're, like, talking shit about her.
Exactly.
Right?
Guys, if, like, your marriage is not working out, get a divorce. Get a divorce. Don't kill them.
Exactly. I'll get to
that.
What
the fuck?
I'll get to that also. Oh, and so Jonathan Nice was found to be guilty. It's really disappointing. And during not disappointing because they found him guilty, but because of the sentence. He was sentenced to 8 years only in prison because they gave him the lesser charge for passion provocation manslaughter, which means that it wasn't
he had reason.
No, it wasn't premeditated. Like, they couldn't find, according to the jury, they couldn't find evidence that, or like real evidence that it was a premeditated murder. According to them, that he was just provoked because he found out that she was still having an affair.
What? That is not okay. That is not okay.
Yes. But the thing that I loved during the trial was that the prosecutor, Doris Gallucci, took issue with the portrayal that Nice was a benevolent medical professional. What she said was, he wasn't saving lives. He was an unemployed father who was, quite frankly, taking an interest in his children for the first time. And then while Doris said that, Jonathan was like, that's too much. And then Doris continued and he was like, this man didn't even pay for his wife's funeral. And then Jonathan was like, I was in jail, Jesus.
What? It doesn't matter. Like, you don't need to be physically there for your money to be.
Yeah. And he was like, Jesus could Christ. You imagine, like, the entire time he was still trying to defend his image. Like, he was, like, talking back during the prosecution. And
there is something wrong with them.
Yes. Also, another infuriating thing was that the judge, his name is Wilbur H. Mathias, fucking piece of shit. He said that he'd done a lot of good in his life, so that's why he only gave him 8 years, because he was, like, researching for cancer and shit.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it worked that way. I don't think it's going to be the same if the roles were switched.
Exactly. That's true. If it was a wife who killed her husband,
yeah,
it wouldn't be the same. Much more if it was, like, a black person, right?
Yep.
Or if it was, like, non-white person.
Exactly. I don't even want to comment on it because it's such a negative thing.
Yes. Also, surprise, surprise, Jonathan Nice is already out. He didn't even serve 8 years. I think he only served, like, 5 years. He got out of good, what do you call that? Good.
I don't know what you call it, but, like,
when you're nice in jail.
Nice.
And
that's so easy to fucking do.
Yeah, it's so easy to fucking pretend to be nice.
Exactly.
We all do that every goddamn day.
That's how we make it through the day.
Right?
Oh my god.
So Jonathan Nice wrote a book, actually. He wrote a book called Under the Color of Law.
Is it good?
No.
I kind of want to read it.
I read it.
I mean, like, just to see.
I didn't
just
buy it.
Just to see how he is as a person. I don't want to buy it. Why support him? I want to read it.
There's a sample on Amazon, which is how I read it. Okay. It has 2.5 star rating on Amazon. And it's so funny because the reviews were like, oh, he's just this whiny rich guy who's now living with his parents. Like, he can't even, he's still trying to make himself, like, the good guy. And I read, it's so stupid, I swear to God. Sorry.
He needs help. He needs help.
And
I'll read some of the reviews. It's a load of rubbish. He did do it. There was outstanding evidence against him that has been left out. I couldn't finish this book. I love the premise. I love law-related books, and I love personal stories, but this was so drawn out, and it seems the author is out to blame everyone.
Exactly. I read the book, and there was no... He kept blaming the cops, and he kept blaming Alex Castañeda's, which is... I mean, Alex was also a sketchy dude, but there was so much evidence... pointed towards him, and he never talked about those shit in his book at all. He kept saying that, oh, Alex was stalking her, that's what Michelle was telling her family and friends. Excuse me, I just burped. And he kept saying that, oh, also there was a part where, you know how it is when your wife, not really your wife, but when someone who lives in that house dies and the police they have reason to believe that they can find evidence in that house, they will try to search for it. And he was like, oh, they didn't even have a warrant. The cops came to my house and raped my house. That's what he said.
What the fuck?
And he was like, honestly, love this country. I have, which is the cover of his book is, according to him, a picture of the American flag, which he hung outside of his house. And he's like, I have that in my house. I'm very patriotic. But my own country attacked me and shit. That's like the entire shit of his book. Also, let me make fun of him. One last time. Actually, the cops or the investigators had reason to believe that it was premeditated, that he knew about the affair prior to that day, because they found he wrote a sappy poem about the affair. Do you want to hear it?
Oh my god, you have it? Yes.
Your stainless steel heart, like a knife, rips open my soul to bleed. Unintended, dying. You called me on the phone. Tell me not to worry. When, oh, when will I die again?
So obvious he knew.
Yeah, and why would you write a poem? Dude.
I'm not gonna judge him because I have a notebook. It's like a journal I write my poems and shit, but like...
Me too. I have like a notebook of like really bad poems, but I mean,
same.
The thing that I would just like to break down his poem, like, there's this to bleed unattended, because an attended, it goes to show that he's not used to having nobody to serve him, like how he treated Michelle.
Well, that's true.
And also, like, you know how psychopaths and sociopaths are when their, like, delusion kind of breaks? The words die and dying, it's repeated twice.
Twice, yeah.
It just shows that, you know, his delusion is breaking again and his control isn't there anymore.
Yeah. Oh, God. But he's out there. Is he still alive?
He's still alive, and he is sorry for...
That's the
ambulance.
I'm so used to it already. It's like, oh, it's that again.
Every episode.
I love it. It's a good... It's a good ingredient in the podcast anyway. It's such a right... It's the correct timing, to be honest. Because we're talking about murder, and it's like, yes!
Oh, shit. Also, another reason why they think that the jurors chose to sentence him passion provocation manslaughter, because during the trial... Alex Castañeda's was asked to testify, and one of the investigators asked him if he wore a condom during the affair. And when he said no, one of the female jurors like shook her head, and like they were kind of like judging her.
They knew.
Yeah, and even in the Forensic Files episode, they were calling Michelle a mail order bride, which is like, not cool. But Forensic Files was like back in 2000 shit.
Yeah.
Which is like Now it's not acceptable to call someone a mail order bride anymore. And how is she a mail order bride, by the way? Because just because they met through chat? I mean, if you're white.
It doesn't even matter where you met.
Yeah. And what if you're white and you do the same shit? How come they don't call white girls the mail order brides, right?
That's true. That's true. I mean, my God, whatever.
Anyway. So that's the end to the murder of Michelle Nice.
Oh, God. Guys, if you have issues with your marriage or if you need someone to talk to, comment on our social media. Yeah. We'll try to help. Nope.
Get a fucking divorce.
At least you can let out.
And this is why.
Don't kill somebody.
Yeah, and this is why I'm pro-divorce here in the Philippines. Like,
same.
I hate it when they say that. Oh, God, I'm going to get political. I hate it when you say that divorce is, like, the reason for, you know how marriage is sacred? But the fact that you're not happy anymore, like, you're cheating, on your wife or husband, like, that's not...
It's not even...
You're not making your marriage sacred. If you're toxic to each other...
Exactly.
You're not valuing your marriage. Shit.
You just broke your promises and all that shit. Yeah. So what's the point, mm-hmm. right?
Get a fucking divorce.
It's really just for show.
Instead of, like, piling pressure onto each other.
Or better yet, subscribe to us on Spotify and iTunes.
Exactly.
My God.
If you and your husband listen to us on your way to commute. What? on your way to work. On your way to work, you guys will love each other because you'll laugh together with us.
My God. If there's something wrong with your marriage, follow us on our social mm-hmm. media channels mm-hmm. at Creepy Convos on Facebook, Twitter. Eventually, we're going to have an Instagram. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for that.
By the time this episode is released, we will have an Instagram already.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. But we still don't have... Anyway, we'll work on that.
Yes. And if you have an iPhone, kindly click on that purple thing where it says podcast and subscribe
podcast.
To us and leave a review because that's really important to us.
5-star rating.
Yes, please. And it's really, even if you don't like us, just leave a good review. It'll bring you closer to heaven.
Exactly. And don't kill somebody. Thanks for creeping, you fucking creeper.
And remember, the government is always watching you.
Bye.
Bye.